right. Welcome back to the podcast. I think we are on 97 now, so we're getting close to 100. Today, we're excited to have Brad Wilson, one of our coaches here. Brad just finished week one of the Open. Week two is going to go down tomorrow. Brad came to us, in 2021?
Yeah.
It's when you started here. So Brad came to us in 2021. He had a background as a baseball player. Our dads worked together at Denison University, and that's kind of how we linked up. But Brad's been through quite the evolution in his fitness over the last couple years, and has kind of rapidly ascended to one of the fittest guys in the gym. He had our best score on that last Open workout. He won the team tryout that we had before the Open. But he didn't start out there just like anyone. So, you know, Brad has quite an elite sports background, but there's been quite a progression. You know, he's lost quite a bit of weight with, some help from Kate starting out. And what we want to just do is first get into just kind of having Brad tell his story and then just asking him questions about some of the things that he does to stay fit and to keep improving now that he's gotten really strong and really fit. So, yeah, Brad, if you could kind of just start us from, give us a quick synopsis of just like your sports background and kind of tell us how you got to, starting at CrossFit Grandview. So
I appreciate it, Brandon. Like Brandon said, I came to the gym in 2021. I was fresh off of a retired baseball career with the Toronto Blue Jays, made it up to the AAA level there. And preceding that, I would play baseball at Ohio Dominican right here in Columbus. And like Brandon said, when I first got here to the gym, started out as a part-time coach, wanted to make some changes in my life, got connected with Kate. And again, really appreciative of Kate because she really showed me how to take care of myself, both nutritionally and functionally throughout my whole body. And just being in this environment really changed my outlook on what it's like to be fit. You know, everyone has a different image of being fit. But when I first got here, mine was just be strong and be able to move stuff. And that slowly turned into how can I turn my body into the absolute best that it can be? And, you know, it's been a cool transformation since then.
So Ohio Dominican's got, it's kind of quite the baseball hub from, yeah. I remember when I worked with Ralph, we had a couple of our coaches there had been Ohio Dominican players. Yeah. And are they known for pitching too?
Yeah, a little bit. Okay. There's a guy that made it to the big leagues and he's actually in the Hall of Fame too. Bernie Sanchez was a pitcher for Ohio Dominican and a little bit of a hub for some pitchers.
And it's a smaller school, but I just remember it being kind of like, a baseball hotbed for a small school. We had, quite a few guys around Ralph's place that we're training at our gym that had either been there, were going there. It seemed like we were somehow connected with that that university in some maybe just offhand way. But so when you were playing baseball, obviously as a pitcher, it's really important to be extremely explosive and strong. It's different though. You definitely can't have you don't see pitchers with Jay Cutler biceps. Yeah. Like guys like that can't throw. So what did it look like? What kind of athleticism or musculature is required for pitching, or what did they emphasize when you were just training? Can you remember what you were doing or what they wanted you to do in a weight room or from a strength and conditioning background?
Yeah. So we had a phrase when I played there, it was mass equals gas. And it was basically how much mass can you move? And that's how hard you're going to throw. You can be quick twitch, move things heavy, move them fast, you're going to produce a velocity on the mound. And if you watch baseball, you see all kinds of body types. There's the long and lanky guys, guys like me, a little bit shorter, a little thicker. At the end of the day, it's how fast can you move your body and translate that power into the ball. And that was our big focus. Just move heavyweights really fast.
But with the arm probably in a different, they wanted to keep your arm nice.
Yeah.
And
you wanted to have some good mobility in the shoulder and more than anything, you spent twice as much time recovering from throwing as you did training for throwing.
Yeah.
Keep that shoulder glued together.
They didn't probably want you using your arm a lot in the weight room, particularly during the season. You're just trying to let the arm just chill.
Oh yeah. Right? The arm's just kind of there trying to keep it glued together. A lot of elbow and a lot of shoulder care, but all of it was in the core and the hips.
Okay.
Real explosive there.
Okay. Did they frown upon like overhead stuff and things like that at all? Like in the weight room, do you remember?
Not necessarily frowned upon. And when we did it, we were deliberate. It was like a lot of single arm, not a lot of barbell overhead, usually some kettlebells or some dumbbells or even just like odd objects, like carrying something odd overhead, like a weighted ball or like something walking. Like that. Yeah. Okay. Just some more stability focus rather than an exertion of force overhead.
Okay. As far as like conditioning for pitching, did they have you guys run and do things like generally just in practice to keep
you? Yeah, honestly, depending on what type of pitcher you were, as a starter, you needed that stamina for longer runs. They ran a little bit. To be fair, I was a closer, so I needed to be good for about 40 to 50 pitches. So I didn't really run a lot. And that's why I was a little bit bigger when I came to see Kate. But it depends on the type of pitcher you are.
When did you switch to just pitching primarily? At what point in baseball?
That would have been my freshman year of college. I came in as a two-way pitcher and third baseman.
Okay.
Had a couple good fall games, and then it immediately transitioned right over.
There's just like pitching. You're not hitting anymore.
Yeah, you're not. Like, don't worry about that, man. You're going to throw.
Okay. So, but all through high school you hit. And, yeah. Okay. Okay. They didn't have you.
Did you enjoy pitching the most?
Oh, I love pitching.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just
a lot of pressure.
Yeah. Eyes on you, especially as a closer at the end of the game when everyone forgets what happened in the rest of the game. In that moment, it's time to go.
You're either the hero or, you know, the villain.
Or the loser. You're the reason you won or lost. Yeah. That's what it is.
Yeah.
So what was your playing weight? Like at the, you know, in your minor league double A, you know, triple A, like baseball, like what weight did you play at there?
So I fluctuated a lot. When I came into college, I was pushing 300. Most of college, I sat around like maybe 270, 280, real thick. And then pros, I got down a little bit more like 250-ish, hung out around there. And then right when I left baseball, I was back up a little heavier again, closer to like 270. And that's kind of right about where I came in.
Okay.
Did they want
300 pounds?
Yeah, I was a big boy.
Oh my God.
I was a big boy.
This
nice.
Is blowing my mind right now.
Yeah.
I got to see pictures.
I'll show you like pictures. This beefy boy.
We should post like a before and after with this podcast. That'd be cool to see now, like an action shot of him in that last workout.
So just for reference for people, Brad, well, you're what, 6'1"?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I like how you say you were short.
Yeah, I know. 6'1"
is like short and stocky. Yeah.
Like comparison to other guys that are like 6'10", 250.
Like Randy Johnson. Yeah.
A lot of baseball pitchers are like 6'4", you know, 6'5" guys.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah. So now you're 6'1", 275, and now you're sitting at weight wise.
Like 210 on a heavy day.
Yeah. Yeah, so he's 210.
Were you
shredded,
like 225 when you finished with me? Was that
when
right?
I finished with you? I think the lowest I got was like 218.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, something you got like pretty lean there too. But now it's like a whole different level. Yeah, yeah.
I was pretty evenly balanced in like muscle to fat ratio with you, and now it's just I very dense now.
Yeah.
And you're every bit as strong as you were at 275, right?
I mean, some of the main lifts are down a little bit.
That's like, what I was going to say. I was like considering, I mean, overall, like, you know, you pull stronger, your overhead and everything is much stronger. But like, I mean, I remember when you came here, you could squat and deadlift a house. You know, I remember seeing, you know, 5 plates on bars, you know, that were moving for reps. So some of those are down a tiny bit.
The functional strength has gone up, but when I first got here, I could, the old school deadlift back squat bench were a little bit higher.
Okay. Yeah. But you haven't sacrificed actually a
not
ton
too much,
on that.
No, barely at all.
And your Olympic lifts are way higher. Like now you can apply it. I remember how much you could squat and deadlift. And then, like it wasn't that you couldn't move a lot. Like you could move some good weight, but like you hadn't been, it hadn't met your,
it looked like trash.
Yeah. It hadn't met your strength yet. Okay. So 275 down to 215. Okay. So let's catch up to
it's you. 210 start, now.
Yeah. Don't, 210.
Don't put 5 pounds on.
Down to 210. Oh, nice. So you've started here in 2021 and take us through a little bit of, I would say, I remember really you wrapped your head around this whole concept pretty fast. So take us through maybe the first 3 or 4 months, because I remember that was a pretty just dramatic change that you had. Dave, you missed that. So you missed the 275 down to 220 or whatever it was. Yeah.
When I first started in CrossFit, I came in as a part-time coach. I did it a little bit on your recommendation once or twice a week just to do it.
Yep.
got into it for like another 2 weeks. And then Kate actually fucking just threw me headfirst into that L2 area. No training, nothing like that. She's like, yeah, just go on over there and go do it. And it went from a couple classes of all levels right into absolutely obliterating myself in L2 all the time. And then that's when I started to get around that competition mindset. And from there, it was off the deep end immediately.
Yeah. I remember you going, doing a little power hour, doing some all levels, still maybe wanting to like pick up some personal training hours at a gym that you had worked at back in Westerville. And then it didn't take long. It was like maybe 3 weeks to a month that you like wrapped your head around it. And you're like, hey, I'm just going to do CrossFit now. And I was like, yeah, like I could see you just taking to it. You did like summer shred. You started running some weight off you.
Yeah.
And then take us through kind of the evolution of like, I think you walked in right on the, right in the open that year, did the first three open workouts, or did at least a couple of them, you know, right away. You know, you only had a couple weeks under your belt. So from there to skip ahead, that was 22.
Yeah. 22.
22. So you did 22, then you really got into like the level two training. Kind of, you know, take us from your evolution from 22 to 23, your first full year of training CrossFit. Like some of the stuff, like you got 80% of the way there real fast. And then some of the stuff has been like a bit of a slow.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
Yeah, so the 22 open was like 4 weeks after I joined the gym. I did the workouts just on recommendation from other guys. No clue how to move right. Just beat the crap out of myself just to feel it, feel that burn. After that, I was like, okay, well, I need to like actually apply myself to getting better, not just relying on athleticism, relying on strength, speed, all that. And over the next probably 6 months after that, like you said, it was like skills were coming up real quick. Gymnastics, aerobic, strength, they were coming around. But
you could walk that handstand ramp like faster than anyone I've ever seen.
Yeah. Things came fairly quick, but then it was up real fast, and then I could hit a wall because at some point there's a barrier where just natural skill is only going to take you so far.
Yep.
And that's when I had to really like actually have a plan and think about ways to train and get better as opposed to just working out. Because the first time I started, I was just working out, just doing what was on there. And then it turned into, that was the biggest realization for me, was going from working out to training with a purpose to like achieve certain goals. And that was probably like a 6 to 8 month process. And then that kind of led into, like you said, into the summer and into the next winter, getting prepped for that 23. And it was just a whole different world of no longer just putting myself in a spot to work out. I actually, my whole life started to revolve around it. Nutrition started to change, recovery, priorities outside of training. Everything just kind of started to revolve around the training aspect as opposed to just treating like a workout.
Yeah. I think from the outside in, like looking in, cause you know, I watch you train a lot at noon, and what was cool to watch you over that first full year, you gained, you know, you had a lot of strength and athleticism. You gained all the skills, you know, and got pretty good competency in them pretty fast. Yeah. And you got some game speed too. Like you started to put together like essentially like that mixed modal, like ability to like shift gears, transition from this to the next thing, to the next thing. But the hardest step, like, for you, I think that year and that evolution to get from like, you know, beginner to really, really good, like that beginner to like that quarterfinal level was not that hard because of your athleticism, your background, and your body just drank it up. I'd say what it was even more impressive to me though is like, because you kind of hit that mark and you're like, hey, you can hang out there and you can be pretty good. But now this last year from 23 to 24, it's getting that elite game speed, which is the really hard thing.
And you started to get injured, a little banged up, didn't you? Yeah, like your shoulder and.
Yeah, I started sipping on the Kool-Aid. CrossFit started pushing a little too hard, too fast, too often. And I mean, you called it multiple times. Your body's going to tell you when you need to stop if you don't stop before that point. And it caught up to me a little bit.
Yeah.
So that game speed though is what is the hard, it's the hardest thing to quantify because people can do, you know, you're getting skills, you're looking at things, you're even seeing videos and people are doing stuff, but it's hard to like understand what that looks like or feels like. until maybe you, you know, you start to try and really do the workouts. You're like, I don't understand how someone did that fast. And what I really saw this year with you is in that tryout for the team. And then, you know, just this past week, I judged him in the last open workout. I saw this game speed that I remember, you know, it's been a while since I've seen it. Like guys like Graham, Dave, these guys who, when they're really just razor sharp, it's a little different twitch of speed. And it's not that much different than, so you got, you know, 6:45 on that workout. And then there was a handful of people in the, you know, 7 to 7:30 range. But that's a night and day difference in that workout. And that's like just going unbroken fast to going unbroken fast and racing fast, which is, it's hard to understand what that is. You know, I've more witnessed it than performed it myself. So what, like, if you could maybe describe like what that feels like or what that kind of took or a shift in your mind to like make that, like, I'm going to be able to move through workouts this fast rather than this, like, more of this comfortable, good pace.
Yeah. Well, first thing I gotta do is I gotta throw a shout out to Drake for his programming in L2 this year. I mean, he's newer to it, but the man just has a feel for the movement. So
absolutely.
Huge shout out to the programming. He's put me in a good place this year. But what I think that shift in game speed you're talking about, for me, it's been mental because it's, you know, people talk about the pain cave or hurting, being good at hurting.
Yep.
All I've done my best to the best of my ability is get to that point where you hurt and you want to stop and just continually move and just get comfortable hurting. Because that's what the games guys are really good at. They can get there and stay there as opposed to most people can get there and then they crash.
Yeah.
And it's all between the ears and it's what you're telling yourself in that moment, what other people are telling you. It all matters. Like a split second can be, oh, I need to take a breath or, oh, I'm fine. I go. If you just tell yourself it's okay, if you can just keep moving through that barrier of redlining just before that red line, then that's where that extra little jump in speed starts to come in.
I was going to just ask Dave if he had any thoughts on that. Cause I know Dave, especially in the open, you know, even shoot, I remember not like in 2013, he was still getting some really like top worldwide times, you know, maybe even like a top 20 time on like that wall ball double under muscle up one. Like, oh, yeah. I think you ripped through that one and you were maybe close to the top 10. I think he opened up with like an unbroken 150 wall ball. Like, when you go to that, like, do you have any thoughts on like getting to that spot or?
It's physical, but it's like, it's a learned mental skill too. I think, you know, it's a big part of the skill in training and like learning to like in your training, like not always redlining, but like always riding that fine line between, I'm not going to get injured, but like, I need to practice going to that place a little because that game speed in which you were talking about and you're competing, there's a lot of adrenaline. There's like, sometimes you just come out too hot. Right. Yeah. So it's kind of like knowing your capabilities. And like, once you're there, it's, I think I even heard Kalipa talk about this back in the day. And I just remember identifying with it. Like there's like an internal panic that happens when things are just starting to kind of like go haywire. You get that tunnel vision. It's like you get focused, but you almost like, you can either like internally motivate yourself or you just start talking to yourself about how bad you feel.
Yep.
And it really can make a difference in your physical output. Like what happens then? You know what I mean? I remember doing that open workout that I just did, right? I mean, I had a decent time, but I don't really go there that often. And I'm in the middle of this workout. It felt like I was doing like 3 back-to-back frams. And I'm just like, you know, like the judge is there, you're near me. There's like a couple guys from class that, you know, always like room for him. I was like, oh my God, don't look at me right now. Just like my POV camera is just like snotting and sweating all over the ground. You know, I'm just like it's like a spaceship that's going down here. Like just all systems are going off. But like that just is, it's as much of like a mental and physical skill at the same time of just like understanding it. Like that's what it feels like. And then just suck it up and go and like try to like internally motivate yourself to keep going. Like it'll end at some point.
Yeah.
Just learning to manage that stress of like when you're hitting that like almost breaking point.
Yeah.
And managing the load too. Right. So it's like when you get there, like, all right, I need to slow down a little bit or just, you know, it's not about giving up. It's like, all right, I got to pace myself out. And that kind of comes with a lot of just practice of doing CrossFit workouts or of doing couplets of managing like how much physical stress I'm under right now to get the time I want, you know? So, yeah.
Do you think you'd be able to get that time if you were all by yourself?
I honestly do think I could because I've
not knowing anyone else's time though.
Yeah. Knowing anybody else's time. I think I've just become very comfortable with finding that hurt spot and just staying there.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I think I could be, it may be a few seconds off one way or the other, but it would be, I think it'd be pretty close.
Yeah. Cause when I watch you work out, I just always think like you're thinking like, I'm going to fucking beat everybody no matter what. you're just so competitive, which is cool to see like you rise to that occasion and just like such a good competitor. But yeah, it'd be tough. I think, you know, probably tough with anything to like
to settle into that spot for 20 minutes.
This week. I'm gonna do that tomorrow. tomorrow's gonna be a fun one.
It's a little different pace to that one tomorrow. But yeah, you know, 5 minutes in, you're gonna know.
Tomorrow's that you get just short of that panic, like you said. Just stay just short of that panic until you get those last 4 or 5 minutes, and then you just blow yourself out of the water.
I love those 20-minute workouts.
I kind of like this time domain, but it's still going to hurt, you know.
It's not going to be the same type of hurt, though. It'll be different.
What is the Open is, you know, for you, making the quarterfinals, unless you, you know, get injured and can't complete it, it's kind of a foregone conclusion. So you've got, you know, obviously, I think doing your best is always the goal. You know, and it's hard to predict what they're going to put out there, how good the other teams are going to do. What are just some goals for, you know, for you this season with, you know, the whole CrossFit game season that's going to kind of unfold over the next month and a half here?
Yeah, I mean, obviously at the end of the day, like Kate said, it's I want to win for that day.
Yep.
I keep it very simple. Try to win that day. And if you win that day, you'll win the next, you win the next, and you just keep going from there. But if you want to zoom out and talk about some bigger goals, I mean, coming into this year, I even told you, I was like, I'm just going to give it my best effort, see where it lands. And then we start planning from there. Cause this is my first year being really competitive. And if it turns out that, I mean, obviously the first goal was to make team. So we made a team. I'm fully committed to that team. Cause I've told them, I mean, even if there's an opportunity for some individual progress, I've committed to that team. So I'm going to see that all the way through. And then I think I'm starting to look, not necessarily look to next year, but like it's starting to look like next year, this is going to become something that I really, really need to dive into, like head in and see where I can go.
Yep.
But for this year, I want to do the best that I can. I want to help my team make it to a semifinal, and then we're just going to go from there. Cool.
Yeah.
So I have a question. So, you're going to work out tomorrow around like 12:30, right? Yeah. But you have to get up, you have to train in the morning.
Yeah.
So I want to hear like your nighttime routine. Like, what do you do to make sure you can sleep well? And then like, talk us through like your nutrition tomorrow before.
Okay. So tomorrow we'll start tonight at like 8 o'clock. Like the hardest thing for me right now is eating enough food. Like I'm exerting so much energy all the time to maybe 3 workouts a day sometimes. And it's like, I'll go to bed tonight after like a 2,000-3,000 calorie dinner, bunch of meat, early bed, bunch of water. Tomorrow I'm actually not too bad. I don't have to get up super early. I'll have a few clients. So I usually start with a big, like a large protein loaded breakfast. So I feel full in the morning because there's nothing worse than feeling hungry.
Like
eggs, I'll put some cheese in there, egg whites. And then if I really need to, I'll throw like a piece of toast on it too.
Just how many eggs? I like to hear this. Oh,
8 or 9 eggs. Yeah.
Okay. So how many full and how many?
Probably 8 or 9 full eggs. And then I usually do the egg whites in like cups. So like almost a full cup of egg whites.
So you like have like a dozen eggs.
Yeah. I eat a lot in the morning. Yeah. Cause it helps me stay.
Okay.
It kind of fulfills me throughout the day.
Yeah.
And then let's say it's
you
like,
said just a piece of toast with that. Okay.
And that just depends on if I really want or not. And then I'll have like some protein bar and a shake a couple hours later. I'm eating like every 2 hours.
Like a perfect bar?
Yeah, something like that. And then like an hour before the workout, I'll just dump carbs into my system, like a bagel with a tablespoon of honey or just all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
Just throw it in there.
Yeah.
And then as long as everything goes right, I hope that usually kind of clicks me right at the right spot. And then because most of our workouts rely on that glycogen storage, just not a ton where, especially in the open, you're not going to go a 45-minute workout in the open.
Like
so
the fat.
You just got to fill your blood with sugar so you've got that quick release.
You can just call in those dozen eggs if you need to, right?
Yeah, call those dozen. those dozen eggs are long gone before that workout starts.
Holy shit, that's great. What about to sleep? Because I know when you are waking up early every day, do you do any like supplements at night to help you sleep?
I usually take like a melatonin once a night. I even do just like a small dose, like a 2.5, just to kind of help me. I don't have a problem falling asleep. I have a problem staying asleep. I get my mind starts to run at like 2-3 in the morning because I feel like I got to go to work.
Yeah.
I wake up. So that kind of helps hold me through the night. And I'm a big like temperature sleeper. I put a fan next to my bed in my apartment to like 65. Like I like to be cold when I sleep. Yeah. I feel like I kind of settle in because I don't know if you guys have ever felt this doing CrossFit high level. My body is like,
hot.
Like it wants to go.
Yeah, I probably need to cool down. Yeah.
So I try to stay as cool as I can.
You don't do anything else like magnesium or any other supplements?
I'll be honest. I'm not a huge supplement person. Yeah. Like I try my best to keep it as whole as possible across the board.
No, that's good. That's good. Well, you know, once you get to our age, we're doing like 50 different supplements. I was just talking to Byron this morning.
Pill
he's like,
going across?
And I'm going to forget the name of this, but it's like the dye for blue jeans. Have you guys heard of this? Some, it kind of helps your cells turn over, but this is like a big supplement he's into. And, something similar to like Beam and magnesium. And
I like that Beam a lot.
Beam's nice. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I got a journal and then read and not watch anything disturbing on TV. And
another big one is I usually try to get off my phone like an hour before bed. Just get that stimulus out of your face.
That's
sometimes
been helping
it's not always an hour.
Yeah. I was having a lot of trouble sleeping up until like a few weeks ago. And I've really staying like just putting the phone away an hour before, and then we start like reading and stuff. And
seriously,
I look at it
not
right
watch-
before bed. I put it as bright as I can on this post, and I go, "Good night."
Scroll through Instagram.
They sleep like this.
No, just double check all of your posts you've ever made and see how many people like you, and then see how many people follow you, and see how many people have blocked you. You should just run through that every night right before you go to bed.
Take some notes.
What was killing me was like looking at my email right before I went to bed because I'd look at my email right by being like down.
And we get the reports for the day and he'd be like, "God damn it. Why did this person quit?"
Membership cancellations and like.
Because I remember that. Like, I wouldn't look at gym emails like past like 7 o'clock. I'm just going to like, nothing.
Because it's always like urgent stuff. And I'm like, oh no, I like this bill is still going to the old gym. And like, our water is going to get turned off in a day if I don't like. That's not what you want to go to sleep to.
No.
Like, and that I was doing, I'm like, this, I've got to stop doing that. Like I, one night I just like vibrated in bed and didn't sleep at all. And like came in here, like freaking feeling horrible.
This might be a dumb question, but do you monitor like what you watch too? You try to not to watch like any violence or like,
I'll be honest. The one thing that I have paid a lot of attention to is the Instagram algorithm.
Yeah.
If I see something come up that is not directly correlative to what I want, like in my regular life, I swipe by as fast, or if I see some good content, I will literally let it run a couple of times. And I've basically filled my feed with CrossFit, food, about dogs, and that's about it.
Like positive types.
Yeah, all things that
correlate. Butt models.
Yeah, but
let's see it.
Let me Kardashian. See it. Kardashian. Let me see your Instagram. Let me see it.
I don't believe you. Just joking. He's a good boy. He's focused like a laser.
I deleted what I do now every day. It's a real pain in the ass. It does help right for now. I'm going to keep doing this. So I upload Instagram, shoot all my stuff in the gym, like put like snaps and or the stories and all that up. Any like, cause a lot of people actually like message through to the gym, like almost use it as like an email. And then I'll deal with like the work emails from Instagram, basically like, "Hey, can you push this over to my email or my phone?" Upload all that stuff. Then I delete it. But when I delete it, like, and have to upload it, it goes through this whole process. Can I have access to your pictures? Here's a code. I have to do a code from my phone. It's like a whole thing. And I do this every day. But what it has done is I was looking at Instagram for like an hour and a half a day. And it was just a huge time suck. I still use it and I still like check everything. But it's now once a day instead of all day long.
Shopping's my problem. All the websites know me. They know what I like too. They let me know when they have sales.
Do you ever get bugged out? Do you follow like CrossFit other athletes and stuff that are doing? So they're showing like, you know, they've peaked out in some training thing and they're, you know, they're snatching like a weight that's unattainable. And then you're like, how am I going to beat that guy?
I am really bad about comparison. Okay. I start comparing myself to people that I have no business standing next to whatsoever. And then I just get down on myself. And that usually turns into, oh, all right, tomorrow's a 3-day. We're going. Let's go. Full send.
You can probably pitch faster than them, so. Throw a baseball faster, so whatever.
The thing that they're showing you, though, that I've always noticed, and I remember, who was it? Rob, who was the strongman guy?
I always forget his name.
Orlando. Rob Orlando. So shout out to Rob Orlando, one of the OG CrossFit Games guys. But he was the first dude I ever remember who, this guy in the early days of CrossFit, he had the best highlights. Like, he could deadlift and Olympic lift and do all these really cool things like ring handstand pushups. Like he was like, everything he did was like flashing cameras and this and that. But what I will say, he was a little older athlete. I mean, he was probably in his, like, honestly, when he was at his peak, he got into CrossFit late, mid 30s. And he was a good CrossFitter, but if you looked at his like highlights, you're like, this dude's easily going to win the games. Like, he's got a better this lift. He's better at everything than everybody. But dude was a little older, putting it all together out there with, you know, 100-degree heat, and then just being, you know, an older guy. Like, he didn't necessarily perform as well. So you had to, like, and he was able to hide his weaknesses pretty well in that. Like, you know, if he had to run a lot, like, he was in trouble and things like that. So you got to know, like, it's good to just keep the blinders. Like, don't worry about, like, the home runs and the dunks that people are hitting. Because, you know,
everybody posts the cool stuff on Instagram. Nobody posts the crap that they
get. Yeah. And then that guy can't, like, you know, handstand walk or whatever it is. You know, he might have some issues. So, yeah, man. I mean, honestly, it's just been really cool to watch you grow in this new sport. And like, I can tell that you've, like, as far as you've came each year, like, you've got another leap like that coming up. And, you know, training throughout this whole season and just pushing it hard is going to show you, it's going to show you exactly what you need to work on. And like, each year for you, it's going to be, you know, more nuanced, because it's not like you're going to put 50 pounds on lifts. You're not going to, you know, be able to do 10 more ring muscle ups. It's like how to come in the with the best package into these competitions now, you know, and come in with this game speed and how to put it all together. And like, you know, it's there's this big difference between, you know, the guy who can clean and jerk 315 and then like 335, you know, and like, there's everyone's at 315. There's this bottleneck, and then, you know, get to 345 or whatever. Then it's like, now it's the top three or four guys, you know? So it's like those small, it's those things,
tiny little jumps. The big jumps were easy and they were fun. Now it's just, you're working three times as much for one third of the game, and that's the game.
Yep. Well, good luck tomorrow, man. I'm going to be out there hollering for you, and it's going to be a great season. And then if you guys are listening to this, we have our spring social coming up at Woodlands. It's going to be 5 p.m. March 16th and 5 to 9. It's not just for people who've done the open or anything. It's for the whole gym, CrossFit Grammy and Grammy Barbell. It's a super fun, laid-back one. They've got the bowling, like, at Pins, like pop-a-shot basketball, huge TV screens, Mikey's Late Night Slice. Food and beer is all on us. So come have fun. See you guys next week.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Bye.